Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
It's Wednesday on the Music of America podcast. We're still in South Carolina. We're in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're going to meet the band Carolina Bluegrass Style in just a little bit after I tell you about B. Normus Productions. That's the letter B, Normus Productions. They've been producing and recording music and videos for almost 20 years. After years as a performer, the owner, Van Veerhoven, decided to get back to that which he loves the most about music, and that's the production side. Under tutelage of Jordan Valeria, he opened up his own place out in Milliken, Colorado. High-end instruments, high-end tools on hand to make your sound compete with that of your own favorite records. He's got one goal in mind, and that's for you to look and sound as professional as possible. So go make some records. Go make some videos at B. Normus Productions. They're on Facebook or at www.bnormusproductions.com. And with that, our guests today are Austin Chastain, Don Ashley, and David Prosser, three of the members of the Carolina Bluegrass Style out of Columbia, South Carolina. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing good.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks for coming on the show. We'll see you. Bye. So, who is not with us? We have a Tommy. Tommy Thomas is not with us.
Tommy's not with us.
He's a lawyer.
But we don't hold out against him.
That's funny.
However, in all fairness to Tommy, he always says he's just the bass player, so it's okay if he's not.
He's just the bass player. I wish he was here, because there's so many jokes about the bass player that we could get into. I'm sure he's heard them all, but, you know, we always pick out our bass player.
He's probably got a few.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go around the room. I do this the way my screen is set up. I go clockwise, and I'll just talk to how you show up on the screen. So it's not alphabetic, and it's not by age or preference. It's just who showed up first. So we'll begin with Austin Chastain. And Austin, you are, I'm looking here. What do you do in the band?
I am the guitar player and the lead singer.
Okay. And how long have you been playing?
I was doing the math, I think, earlier this morning. It's been 14, going on 15 years, I think.
Wow. How did you get started?
Well, my grandfather actually used to listen to old Hank Williams Sr. records.
Wow.
And I used to sit there and listen to them. To the records with him, and then eventually, of course, I pick up the guitar and want to sing like Hank Williams.
Mm-hmm. And is that who you model yourself after when you sing? Like, do you hear Hank's old style in the back of your mind sometime?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I do Hank songs, that's who I'm trying to channel.
Gotcha.
That was the first experience with music, period, that I ever just fully enjoyed and loved it.
Gotcha. Next on my screen, David Prosser. And David, you play banjo and dobro, huh?
That's right. Or at least try to.
Which did you start with? Did you start with guitar? Did you start with piano?
I started with guitar at 11 and really couldn't get into it. And then turned 16 and heard the banjo and just fell in love with that. And then added the dobro to it later on.
Yeah. I have a banjo that I got as a Christmas gift from a friend of mine who's actually, I mentioned to you off mic that I'm headed there in mid-May for a wedding. Her brother had this banjo, and he passed away in a skiing accident, so she gave it to me for Christmas, but I never brought it back here to Missouri, so it's just sitting there waiting for me up in Vermont. Never picked it up. What's the first thing you would tell a banjo player that's just learning how to play? What's the first thing you would tell them?
Realize you're never going to have any friends again.
How can you play banjo and not have friends? How do you listen to a song and not have people
singing? You've got to be kind of self-deprecating if you play the banjo. No, the first thing you got to do when you learn to play the banjo is, number one, realize it's never going to stay in tune. You're going to constantly have to tune the instrument, so get over that quick.
Really?
Yeah.
develop a sharper ear than you already have. Then, like guitar players drive me nuts. I do this all the time. We spend half the time tuning, and I guess with a banjo player, it's more, right?
Well, the banjo is not put together with glue. It's not solid. It's all bolted together, so it tends to want to change with even, you know, if you play fairly hard, it's going to come out of tune.
Yeah. I guess I never thought about that, but yeah, it's all tension. So if you're stretching or bending the string or something, eventually it's going to flatten out or flatten or sharpen. I guess it'll flatten out on you, right?
Yeah, there's a running joke, you know, the difference between a banjo and a chainsaw. You can tune a chainsaw.
That's horrible, but I get it. And then last with us is fiddle player Don Ashley, right, Don?
That's me. Glad to be here, Tom.
Thank you, sir. How about you? Same question. What did you start with? Did you start with the fiddle?
No, I started with piano, you know, as a lot of young people, you know, my mother really wanted to develop my musical talents. She, at least, bless her heart, thought I had some, and I had to take piano for a lot of years, and I managed to get her to let me get out of piano lessons, but I was going to have to learn how to do something else. Well, by this time, I had already met David, and we had this great idea. Hey, I'll learn to play the fiddle. You learn to play the banjo. And, man, we'll learn to pick up girls.
Because
we're in high school at the time, right? You know, this is back in the 70s. Well, also in the 70s, you know, disco was king. And, hey, David, how did that work out for us? Picking up girls.
Not too good.
Not too good. No, not at all. So.
That's funny.
Well, lucky enough, I had a guy that played with Don Reno. Don Reno's cousin, a guy named Bill Haney. He had a real popular band here in Columbia. He kind of took me under his wing and showed me the old-timey way to play. And I've been trying to do it ever since, Don.
Well, I remember in a music class I had in high school when we were studying bluegrass, and I remember reading that bluegrass music began like in that part of the country, in like Appalachia, basically, where I think it was Scottish immigrants were trying to emulate the music of the bagpipe and the sound from Scotland. And that's where they came up with a lot of the stringed instruments that they played over there, they played over here, but they were still trying to create that sound. And what emerged from that is what we call American bluegrass. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, you had the influences of the string instruments like the violin and the upright bass that came out of Europe, and the mandolin that came out of Italy or the Italian area, the guitar is Spanish. The banjo has its roots in the African-American instrument, banjar. So I always tell people it's basically like this country. It's a melting pot of different sounds.
That's really cool.
I think an easier way, Tom, to think about it is after your old-timey string band stuff was established, right, using the instruments that David just talked about, you know, bluegrass derived from that, right, from your old-school folk music. And it was a change in basically in the late 30s, early 40s, the big change was in the banjo, from being played a two-finger style or clawhammer style, to even some bands didn't even have a banjo at all. Look at Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass.
Right.
He played for years with his brother Charlie, right? And the only real difference in what we would call modern bluegrass is the way the banjo is played today.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Don and David, you guys began in high school together, and is that the roots of the Carolina bluegrass style?
Yes, sort of. We went to summer school together before we started high school. We actually went to separate high schools, but we maintained our friendship through high school, and started the band. The original band we had was his dad's band, that right after we learned, or thought we had learned, how to play enough to do a couple of songs, was a group called Carolina Rebels, which the last of those original members passed away a couple of years ago. And
other than us,
me and David and Tyler kind of keep it going. But that was the roots of the Carolina bluegrass style, sure enough.
Well, how did Austin and Tommy work their way in? Austin, how'd you work your way into this?
Well, it came from, me, Don, David, and Tommy had played in a band previously, which is how I had met them before.
Uh-huh.
And it was with another guy out of Columbia, and we were in that band for a long time, and eventually, after a while, they kind of weaseled me into the Carolina Rebels thing. Hey, Tyler, can you make this gig? Hey, Tyler, can you make this gig? And so, it never officially, I guess, was a Carolina Rebel up until, and David, I hope you don't mind if I tell the story.
No.
Unfortunately, David's dad, Hank Prosser, had passed away in 2019, I believe it was, David.
Yeah.
And David had asked me to come play Hank's guitar. At his funeral, and it was me and three other guys who had played in the Rebels before, just kind of fill it in. And the pastor who was doing the officiating of the service looked at me and said, "I just want you to know, son, that Hank is with you while you play that."
Yeah.
And so it was just like a very tender moment. And then at the end, David, which, I just had, it was a very emotional moment, but David handed me Hank's old tie that his dad had wore and put it on my neck and made me an official Carolina Rebel.
You still got that costume, don't you?
I still got it. It's still hanging in my closet. That, if I lose anything else, I will not lose that tie.
Let me interject real quick. I don't want to step on Tyler here, but the very first job we played, the four of us together, was actually a funeral for a former member, the original bass player of the Carolina Rebels. That was the first time we played for a guy named Joe Azar. Our first bass player passed away way back when. In 2018, I guess it was, and we all got together and thought, wow, this sound has some potential.
Yeah. Cool. And I should point out, Tyler, I've been calling you Austin because that's the name that pops up here, but my sheet says Tyler, so I don't know who Austin is, but he's getting all your
credit. Yeah. That's my first name, actually. Tyler's my second name. I like to call Austin my government name.
Your government name. So, whenever I interview a bluegrass band, one of two stories come about, and I think I'm going to hit you with both of them. Okay, the first one, because we talked about the soft microphone. And I was so pleased when I said the Sally Mountain Show, you all knew exactly who I was talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rhonda Vincent.
And not only did you know who I was talking about, you knew that she was from Missouri, the town where I was. You didn't know this. Her bass player was the mayor of the town that I lived in, this little town called Greentop, just outside of Kirksville. But you knew her songs. You not only knew her, but you got to play with her and open with her. Is that right?
Yep. Played several festivals with her in the early 1980s, through about 1990 or so, I think.
Yeah, most of it was on the Florida circuit, if I recall.
So did she approach you? Did you approach her? How did that happen?
Yeah, we were all about the same age and, just played in different bands. And, of course, David played in his dad's band, and she played in her family band, so it's kind of like the old guys would get together and do this, and the youngsters would get together. I got a picture somewhere of me with Rhonda, and she's in this beautiful emerald green dress. This is back when her hair was real, real short and then a bit darker, right? And I think I might be like 190 pounds or something like that. Boy, how things have changed. she's still beautiful, and here I've become an old fat man. So what happened?
That's so funny. One of the guys I worked with in this little town of Chinook, Kansas, I saw him for the first time in 40 years. We ran into each other coincidentally at some thing last week. And I'm like, oh, my God, I looked at his name on his card. I said, wait a minute. because he didn't look anything like I remember. You know, when I saw him before, he looked like Maurice Gibb of the Bee Gees. And here's this guy who's like, looks like he's in his 70s. He's got no hair. He's got thick glasses. He's got a belly twice the size of mine, you know. And I said, Jim, did you used to work in radio? He goes, how'd you know? And I said, I'm Tom Pollard. He turns to his wife and goes, oh, my God, this guy used to be my boss. So, yeah, it's funny how we age and yet they stay beautiful. How does that happen?
Oh, yeah.
So when you guys are out playing, you still play a lot of the standards, or do you just get away with playing all your own music now?
Don, you want to take this? You want me to?
Well, it's never stopped me from talking before. So, yeah, you know, we do a lot of our own music. We're very fortunate that we all enjoy writing. Tyler probably is the more serious writer. He is writing all the time. David and I have written some for the old band, and then a little bit, you know, recently. And but, you know, Tyler's a machine. You know, he is really putting out some material out there. And
but we do the old standards as well, a lot of the old traditional stuff. It may not be quite the same as the old traditional sound.
But yeah, you gotta make it your own. Yeah,
and then, of course, you know, the name of our band, Carolina Bluegrass Style, that is derived from, you know, we like to play all types of music, but we like to deliver it in that classic Carolina style. And by that, I mean Don Reno, Earl Scruggs, Doc Watson, and a host, you know, of others, you know, from the Carolinas, you know, that have made bluegrass into the music we know and love today. And we've been pretty successful with that approach. And, you know, some of the songs you may have picked out, you know, I think are going to completely prove that to you.
Sure.
Tyler is into the Bob Marley music, you know. Uh-huh. And, we've got some of that goes over wonderfully at our shows. And again, some of our original songs, we've been very fortunate. And I think the greatest compliment that maybe we've been paid so far is on our original material, is that it reminds them of something they've heard before, you know. Yeah, and like, yeah. that can't be an original song. I know that song from way back. You don't. It just sounds like one, you know. It's just one that brings up a memory, and that's a good thing. So
that's a real good thing. I think that's a real skill and a real craft in itself, to be able to create that memorable style that it sounds like. Yeah, I know. I've heard that song before. Oh no, you didn't. We just recorded it last week. You know, we just wrote it last week, first time.
Exactly.
So, since you brought this up, Tyler, this is probably the best question to ask you. How on earth did you decide to take a Bob Marley song, I Shot the Sheriff, and make that Carolina bluegrass style?
Well, you know, we were talking about influences earlier. To explain this is to tell you a little bit about me. A few years ago, I think in 2021, you know, I tried to start a band. I'm sorry, 2022. I tried to start a band, and nothing really worked out, and kind of got bummed out because I had no place to play. I had quit the band that I was previously in before, and almost quit playing. And all of a sudden, it was just like this. I heard Bob Marley's music, and this fire got lit underneath me, and I just started to love music again and fall back in love with playing.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, all of a sudden, you know, these guys, I think it was either David or Tommy just called me randomly one day. It was like, hey man, what are you doing? Who are you playing with? I'm like, nobody. They said, well, let's try to get together and do a few gigs or something. Just like, you know, randomly out of the blue. Yeah. And I said, well, okay, well, if we're going to do that, then let's do this. You know, let's try Bob Marley. And then we jammed around with it, and it actually went over pretty good amongst us four. And it was one of the first songs that we ever worked out together as a band.
Well, maybe because I'm familiar with the song, it was the first one I went to listen to when y'all sent me this music, because I wanted to hear what you did with it. But immediately I got to thinking about that band, Hey C. Dixie.
Yeah.
Yeah. and what they do with like Highway to Hell and some of those other songs. They take these old rock and roll classics, you know, and they've turned them into, and they do a really good job of it. That's kind of what I wondered, if this was going to have that kind of flavor to it, and it did and it didn't. You can hear Marley, but you can hear bluegrass. It's really cool how you put this together.
Well, I appreciate that, because that's, whenever it comes to the Bob Marley stuff, I do like to say I'm real proud of us whenever we do that, because, you know, I hold that influence very close to my heart, and it comes out in our music, and I'm really appreciative of this band, because that's amazing whenever a band can just click and do something crazy like that.
Well, you know what's good is when you do that, you know, everything going to be all right, man. Well, let's listen to some of the music. We'll start with that one. Our guest today, Carolina Bluegrass Style from Columbia, South Carolina, here on the Music America podcast. The first song we're going to listen to, their version of I Shot the Sheriff. Shot the Sheriff, Carolina Bluegrass Style. Our guest here today on the Music America podcast with Tyler, Dan, and and David, and not with us is Counselor Tommy, right? Counselor Tommy's out winning cases for truth, justice, and the American way. When I have a bluegrass band on, we talk about Rhonda Vincent always. And when we don't talk about Rhonda Vincent, we talk about a buddy of mine, Keith White, who introduced me actually to Rhonda. He played with Rhonda back when they were both getting started. And Keith could play. I actually saw him do this in Peoria before I moved to Vermont. I saw him playing at a country show where he was sitting at a pedestal with a fiddle on like a boom, like a mic stand kind of. And he had his telly strapped around his neck. And he played My Home's in Alabama by the band Alabama. And he started off on the pedal steel. And then he reached over and stuck his neck onto this boom where the fiddle was. And he started playing fiddle. And then he broke into guitar while he was singing lead vocals, too. And I'm just amazed by that picture when I saw him do that. And I remember talking to him when I worked at this radio station in Kirksville where I met Rhonda. We hired his band Southern Comfort to come when we do like a remote broadcast at the opening of Montgomery Ward's or, you know, the new Toyota dealership or something like that. We'd have Southern Comfort come out there and play. And Keith was, he was a janitor at the university, going to school and programming and all this stuff. So but he's just such a talented musician. And I'd get him on the microphone and say, "So, Keith, how you doing today? Keith White's with us here from Southern Comfort, the house band for Music Country KIRX. How you doing, Keith?" Fine. And we got talking about how he got started when he was, as I said earlier, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, but I think he was like 8 or 9 years old, and it was a bluegrass festival in Kirksville at the Holiday Inn. Mom and Dad dropped him off with a guitar and $10. They said, "We'll see you on Monday." And that was it.
Wow.
He just went room to room, introduced himself to people, and that's how he said, I could barely carry the guitar, much less play it. And he goes, "But that's how you learn to play, by playing with players." He goes, "I learned how to flat pick and I learned how to finger pick all that weekend." And by the time he left, everybody knew who he was. And they were, "Well, honey, come over here. Let's mix you something to eat." And he'd go over in this room and he'd have some breakfast. Come over here and have some lunch. And he'd just sit in and they'd say, "Sit down, grab your guitar, get him in and play." And that's how he learned how to play all those instruments. But that's how he became so proficient at the guitar. And I always cherish that story because I think of that as a bluegrass thing. Do you guys have similar stories like that on how you brought somebody into the fold or you learned yourself by just sitting in with people?
Well, yeah. I mean, Don and I both, the reason that Don and I started playing bluegrass, we were at home on a Saturday. It was raining outside. We couldn't go do what I refer to as the GoFundMe page of our era, which was walk around, knock on doors, and say, "Hey, you need your grass cut." And so couldn't do that. We had record cabinets full of records, and Don and I were just sitting there, and we started, pulling out albums. We'd drop a needle on it, just listen to it. And we pulled out this album called The Songs and Sounds of Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's the Shrugs, right?
Yeah, the very first track on there was the original 1949 version of Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Wow.
Been hooked ever since.
Yeah.
And it just, it was like an epiphany for me. I heard the sound of Earl's playing, and it was like, yep, I got to do that.
Yeah, it was an apostrophe for me today.
An apostrophe.
Yeah.
Funny. How about you, Tyler? Did you ever have those events, those epiphanies, those moments, those things like, wow, this is, or was it that the story you told me about with Tommy? Was that it, your turning point?
Yeah, it really just, whatever I was about 12 years old, I'd say. And like I mentioned before, just sitting next to my granddad and listening to records.
Yeah.
And he pulled out a guitar one day and was just strumming along to it. And I was like, "Oh, can you show me that?" And then he would show me a little bit. And I couldn't quite understand, where to put my fingers or remember it or anything. And so he took a piece of paper out and he drew the guitar neck down. And he drew little dots on the frets and on the fingerboard where my fingers go.
Uh-huh.
And I sat there for like a week straight, just studying all those chords. He went from A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, just all those basic major cowboy chords.
Wow.
And I was strumming along to the record player, man.
That's fun. Did you always did you listen to rock and roll too? Any of you did you listen to rock and roll and incorporate any of those styles in, or Motown or anything like that? Incorporate some of that into your music?
Oh yeah, I started with Hank Williams, and then eventually it went to Stevie Ray Vaughan and Eric Clapton, yeah, and Prince to, you know, even now with Bob Marley, you know. But music's been an ever-growing thing, and as long as you remain a student, you'll always be learning.
Right. I often think of, like, the Rolling Stones, you know, and when I hear Gimme Shelter and think that they've been singing that song for 65 years or whatever, and they still deliver it like it was fresh off the press. So there's a certain sense of obvious ownership, you know, and pride that gives them that ability to do that. But I also got to think deep down inside, I've played in cover bands before, and there's times I can't play Brown Eyed Girl ever again, ever. I hate that song. So I got wondering, is there a song, each of you will go around the room, is there a song that you just have to play and you detest it? We'll start with you, Don.
Repeat that, would you please?
Okay. Yeah. So there are songs that you play that you just got to play them. And is there a specific song that you have to play and you just like, oh God, here we go again?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's one we have to play. There's a lot we try not to play. You know, a lot of songs, you know, songs are personal, right?
Yeah.
Not only to the listener, but the guy or girl performing,
mm-hmm,
you know, so, I like the old Bob Wills stuff, right? I like, yeah, a lot of the old honky tonk, you know, drinking songs.
Right.
But I don't feel like, you know what, if the crowd's not moving in that direction, I don't need to bring everything to a screech and halt to make that happen just for me.
Right.
Right.
I was looking at this the other way. If the song comes up on the set list and you're just not feeling it, what's the one song you roll your eyes and say, again, come on?
Well, you know, it's funny. We don't use a set list, so we don't have that problem.
Oh, you know, well, that's good.
No, I'm serious. You know, we are very fortunately blessed to all be pretty fast thinkers, uh-huh, you know, and we'll start off, you know, with kind of a very traditional, you know, first two or three songs. And then, you know, how does the crowd react? You know, then, uh-huh, if they're really dying for more traditional, we keep feeding them that. But, you know, then we'll kind of spin off, do something, you know, maybe a little honky tonk song. And how do they react to that? Okay. Uh-huh. And then maybe we'll do a little Western swing. How do they react to that? And then we keep coming back to what we know that's working for them. Right. So I think probably the most heartburn we have is when somebody asks for a song that, you know, is not really on our list, but it's,
yeah,
super important to the listener. Right. And of course you may have to, you know, yeah, everybody's got their, you know, canned version of Rocky Top and, you know, whatever,
right,
you know, maybe not, it may not be on purpose part of your show, but if they ask for it, you got to play it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, David? Is there a song that you would rather not play that you tend to shy away from and say, that's not this one right now?
You know, I'll play anything if we're asked. I am not, I've done Rocky Top so much with so many different bands.
Yeah.
It's not usually one of my favorites, but I don't mind playing it if we get it asked for it. But yeah, that's one of those.
Uh-huh.
And if you ask Tyler, I can pretty much guess which one probably he's not fond of.
Let's hear it, Tyler. Which one? Okay, no, let's ask you. We'll ask you, David. What song does Tyler not want to do?
His least favorite song is probably Wagon Wheel.
Oh, kind of cut out for a second. But yeah, I'm kind of like David. He is right. He is right. But I'm kind of like David. If we get asked to play it, I don't mind playing it. But it's just one of those things even before I got into bluegrass, you know, I was, uh-huh, playing that song back when I was in middle or high school or whenever it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I've heard it so much that it's just, you know, kind of old.
And I'm with you, too. Again, not to pick on it, because I love Van Morrison. I love most of his music. It's just when you play the song every night, and if you haven't played it and it's on, I always play it with the set list. If it's on the set list and you haven't played it yet, and somebody comes up and requests it, and you're like, yeah, you have to remind me, I got to play that song. Okay, let's look at it the other way. Is there a song that you get a little glimmer or glint in your eye and say, yeah, can't wait to play this. I love this song. Let's do this. Yeah, it's fun. Is there a particular song you get into maybe just a little bit more than everybody else?
Usually for me, it's one of three songs that we'll do in a set.
Yeah.
It'll either be Could You Be Loved by Bob Marley, or we also do a version of No Woman, No Cry by Bob Marley.
Uh-huh.
And then A Pilot Looks at 40 by Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that one coming. That was good.
Yeah, that's one of our big numbers, Tom. Yeah. Yeah, Tyler gets a lot of requests for that.
Yeah. How about you, Don? Is there a song you really like that you really get excited about, that you like your part on it, or you like how you deliver it, or anything like that, like a specific song?
Yes and no. We do a hybrid version of the old Lester Flatt song, Great Big Woman, and a Little Bitty Bottle of Wine.
Yeah.
And part of our stage presentation is we jam it out up front, and then we get into the chorus, and in the second verse, we try to do what would it be like if Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, was singing this verse. And, you know, we get down with it, that great big woman, you know, trying to
be funny.
And then Tyler, you know, does a, what if Lester Flatt was here? Then he does the Lester Flatt G-Run break.
Oh, wow.
What if B.B. King was here? And if the crowd is really working,
yeah,
you know, but it's one of those things, if the crowd's not working, don't introduce that song, right?
Right.
You gotta make sure your crowd is right on. So, yes, in that respect. And the other one for me is one I don't even play, and that would be Pirate Looks at 40.
Okay.
We do it with only the dobro and the guitar, and Tyler sings it as a single vocal, and Tommy and I just move off stage and let it happen, and then we watch the crowd as their eyes kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember this, because a lot of people that listen to us are people my age. Right, I was 12 in 1974, so I don't know how I felt in 74, and a lot of these people do too. And to be taken back in time with either I Shot the Sheriff or Pirate Looks at 40 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I just like to get out of the way and let it happen.
David, how about you?
On our show's two songs, and then there's one song that I can play no matter what. Two songs. Number one, I'd say Pirate Looks at 40, because Tyler and I just have a wonderful time. I love hearing him sing that song, and it's great to back him up with that. And then for me, we do a version of a Tyler Childers tune called White House Road, and I just love playing that one. There's just such a groove to that song when we're playing it. And then finally, I could play this song. I've played it a million times. I could play it a million times more, and love to. It's Foggy Mountain Breakdown, because every time I play it, it takes me back to that day at 16 when I first heard the banjo.
First heard it. How about that? That's fun. That is fun. I just got transported there, having that feeling. You know, that's neat that you can remember that first time, and every time you pick up your guitar, you think, that's something, man. That's cool.
And just to kind of add, you know, to what David was saying about Foggy Mountain Breakdown, weirdly enough, that was my first introduction to bluegrass as well. Years later, and it showed up, I think, you know, back when satellite TV used to have those music stations that would play all day long, I just so happened to click on it, and the first song that played was Foggy Mountain Breakdown. And I remember I was like 11 or 12 at that time. I just stopped everything I was doing and listened to the entire thing.
I'll be darned, that's something.
Yeah.
Well, now, let's get out of nostalgia. Let's get into Carolina Bluegrass Style Originals. And talk about the first of five songs we're going to listen that are yours. And this is incoming, or four songs, I guess, because the other one's the Bob Marley song again, right? Could You Be Loved? That's Bob Marley, right?
Yep.
But this next one we're going to listen to, Ain't Coming Back, that's an original, right?
Yes, that
is.
And did you write that one, Tyler?
I did.
See how I figured that out? See, I actually pay attention here. What's it about?
Well, you know, it's, I like to explain it like, you know, we've always had sort of, just at any point in your life, you've always had those thoughts of like just packing up your stuff and leaving. You know, you had a bad day or it's been a bad month. You know, what would happen if I just jump on a train and not look back?
Right.
And that was the idea for this song. And I think I was actually traveling down the road when this song came to me. And I forget where I was going, but I couldn't type it. So I was sitting there with my phone, too, with the microphone on. Uh-huh. On my memos and just singing it and letting my phone type it out. But it was it's kind of about that. And you know, while I was writing it, I just imagined, you know, just taking off and going down to the beach and settling up somewhere in Key West and not looking back to South Carolina.
Just being gone. That sounds good.
Just get going, yeah.
Let's listen to it, the Carolina Bluegrass Style, our guest here today on the Music America podcast, the first of several original songs, a song called In Coming Back.
Well, home is a harbor of heartache. Nobody really cared for me. They call me a waste of raisin. They can't hate what they can't see. I ain't what they wanted me to be. Well, one cold train on a freight line, heartaches on the track. Some say horses are faster, but I won't be coming back. No, I won't be coming back. I didn't know that she was messing around, and she don't know that I'm leaving town. Well, one cold train on a freight line, heartaches on the track. Some say horses are faster, but I won't be coming back. Oh, I won't be coming back. Keep me sane. Well, one cold train on a freight line, heartaches on the track. Some say horses are faster, but I won't be coming back. No, I won't be coming back. No, I'll never be coming back.
Ain't Coming Back with Carolina Bluegrass Style, our guest here from Columbia, South Carolina, on the Music America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard, and we've got a few more songs coming your way with the boys after we talk about this place in Vermont called River Ridge Farm in Jeffersonville. It's Vermont's recreation lover's dream, a gorgeous vacation rental nestled in the Green Mountains of Vermont. River Ridge Farm, Jeffersonville, is an escape to everything wonderful Vermont has to offer. This historic farmhouse sits atop 16 acres of fields with mountainous views, a pasture, a pond, tree-lined river frontage. Go and enjoy this beautiful spot in the heart of the Green Mountain State. When you're making your reservations, talk to Diana about interacting with the animals, and they'll just love the attention, and you'll love the experience. Or don't, you know, just stay in this comfortable modern farmhouse that sleeps 11 guests comfortably. There's enough space there to throw an event or just relax and rejuvenate in the beautiful Vermont landscape. So check them out. River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville, Vermont. There's a lot of farms that are on Airbnb that are on a river's ridge. So you have to stipulate River Ridge Farm, Jeffersonville, Vermont. They're on Facebook or on Airbnb, River Ridge Farm, Jeffersonville, Vermont, Vermont's recreation lover's dream. Probably much akin. I've not been to that part of the country except one time, maybe when I was a kid. I've been to South Carolina on the other side of the state. So tell me a little bit about Columbia and what it's like growing up there and what the music scene is like there.
Columbia, unfortunately, is behind in the music scene compared to a lot of our state. Greenville, Spartanburg is a fairly big hub, especially for, you know, manufacturing, stuff like that. There's a lot of places there. So there's a lot more of a downtown music scene in that area. And then, of course, Charleston. Charleston is just a music mecca, not only because it's an arts mecca. They have a yearly event down there called Spoleto that is centered around the arts, around music, around dance, around, you know, theater. So Charleston really has, but South Carolina, Columbia, because we're sort of in between the two, it really hasn't found its niche quite as much as the other two sides of it.
Is bluegrass more acceptable then in the western state than on the coastal states, or coastal part of the state?
Well, it's you know, there's a fairly decent bluegrass scene up in Greenville, Spartanburg, the upper part of South Carolina. And then, you know, down towards the coast, there's some fairly decent bluegrass bands down there, too, that are playing. But in the center of the state, we have a couple of places where they're jamming and stuff like that. But we're really starting to get that, you know, to find some places to play around here. There's not as much bluegrass in Columbia as we would like. You know, that old thing about...
We take the show on the road, man.
That's what I was leading up to. That's what it seems like. You guys probably have to do a lot of touring. And do you, when you do tour, do you stay in state or do you go outside?
We've played a lot of different places, and it's really amazing. You know, we go up to North Carolina, you know, the Asheville area, which is a big mecca from Asheville's got a ton of music up there. And they kind of really like us up there. And then we've started branching
out. My favorite place to play would be up in the Asheville and surrounding areas. I think that's the way to put it.
It's mine, at least.
And then, you know, we've started branching out into Tennessee and down into Georgia, down into Florida. And it's really started to grow for us.
Where are you most received outside of your comfort zone?
I'd say just recently we were in Tennessee over in Johnson City.
Yeah.
And we played at a wonderful place called the Boone's Creek Opry. And we stepped on stage and I was kind of thinking that they weren't going to let us off the stage. I mean, really? You know, the great folks and tremendous crowd, and it was just a great place to play.
Now, you were talking about that song Wagon Wheel that references Johnson City, right?
Yeah. And actually, it references it wrong.
Oh, it does?
And it says traveling west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee, which is actually incorrect. You can't go west from the Cumberland Gap and get to Johnson City.
Oh, no kidding. How funny. I'd heard that about a John Denver song, too, and I can't remember what it was now. Blue Ridge Mountains or something, and the Shenandoah.
Yeah.
They're not by each other or something.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Hey, man, don't let facts get in the way of good lyrics.
There we go. man of my vision. That's funny. So, let's talk about a song that sounded familiar to me by title. I didn't recognize it, and you guys explained it to me. Tear That Still House Down. Next song we're going to listen to. Tell me about that.
It's an old Gillian Welch tune.
Mm-hmm.
She originally did it in a more somber way, talking about, you know, when I die, take my still house that's been the boon of my life and get rid of it. Make sure it doesn't stand.
Yeah.
And we took it and basically kept the lyrics and just sort of put it to a sort of a swing feel to give it more of that bluesy swing feel of one of the things I love about blues is you can do blues and you're singing a sad song, but by golly, that music is going to be peppy and wonderful behind it.
You betcha.
And the same sort of feel with this. We took the song, took the words and you know, the basic chord structure, but it's a much more upbeat song. And we really get to kind of stand out and play some stuff on it that's, you know, There's swing in it, there's blues, and it really just has a great feel. It's one of those songs that we get into it, and it just kind of flows.
Well, we're going to listen to it right now. It's the Carolina Bluegrass Style, our guest on the Music America podcast, and the song Tear That Stillhouse Down.
Place no stone on my grave, no flowers on my tomb, no gold red sign in my marble-filled room. No, the only thing I want when they lay me in the ground, when I'm gone, tear my steel house down.
Tear my steel house down, let it go to rise. Don't leave no trace of the highway where they made that evil stuff. All my time and money, no profits did I see. That old copper was the death of me.
Just a boy, way back in the hills, I'd laugh at those men who tended those stills. But that old mountain shine, it caught me somehow. And when I'm gone, tear my steel house down.
Tear my steel house down, let it go to rise. Don't leave no trace of the highway where they made that evil stuff. All my time and money, no profits did I see.
Now parents tell your children, the devil he's no dream of, he's alive and he's well in my whiskey machine. When it's my time for dying, just lay me in the ground. And when I'm gone, tear my steel house down.
Tear my steel house down, let it go to rise. Don't leave no trace of the hiding place where they made that evil stuff. All my time and money, no profits did I see. That old copper kettle was the death of me.
Song called Tear That Stillhouse Down here on the Music America podcast. Our guest, Tyler, Don, and David from Carolina Bluegrass Style. Next song we're going to talk about is called White House Road. Who wants to step up and talk about that one?
Oh, I can do it, Tyler. All right, I'll do the talking on this one.
Okay.
This one came, we were talking about Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We play, or at least we try to play up at a place called Blue Mountain Pizza in Weaverville, North Carolina, just a little bit north of Asheville.
Okay.
We try to go up there and play about once a month. And because it was the first place that we ever played us four together as Carolina Bluegrass Style.
Okay.
So in order to, you know, keep true to who we are, we like to go back and play there.
It's like the Lucky Ricky Skaggs song, Don't Get Above Your Raisin, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we're all about, man.
Yeah.
And we showed up, and I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was sometime last year we showed up, and that place was packed out, and we had this one young man come up and ask, do y'all know any Tyler Childers? And I said, well, I do. And I looked at the other guys, and they were kind of shrugging their shoulders. And I said, all right, boys, throw your capos on the second foot. G, F, and C, follow me.
Here we go.
Here we go. And it was like, it was like we played the song for 50 years.
No kidding. Like,
it was amazing. It was electric. And those people went nuts after it. And so immediately after that experience, we added it to the set list. And so, of course, it became a fan favorite. And we got not requests, but demands from people that we throw it on this album.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love it when that happens, man. I remember doing a show at our church one year. We were coming off a break, and I was second guitar, and our lead guitar just got up and just fiddling around doing some real slow bluesy thing in E, and I got up and I started singing at half the speed that George Thorogood, Who Do You Love? And we really thickened it up and syrupy, made it real syrupy thick, you know, and molasses planet. And the drummer looked at us, and he got this wink in his eye, this glimmer in his eye, and he got up, he started putting some real, real soft stuff down underneath us. The bass player came up, and we just took off and just played it that slow, bluesy, you know, half speed, then Thorogood kind of thing. Dancing, people up hooping and howling because they'd never heard it done before. And it's like, that became a song we had to do all the time now. We had to work it into the set list, you know? Fun. Well, let's listen to it. White House Road, Carolina Bluegrass Style, here on the Music of America podcast.
That cocaine ain't nothing better when the wind cuts cold. Oh.
living. Damn good feeling to run these roads. Sing them hymns while the banjo plays. Tell them women that they ought not frown, 'cause there ain't been nothing ever held me down. I said lonely women are a shallow break. Same old blues, just a different day. Got me drinking that moonshine, get me higher than the grocery bill. Take my troubles to the highball, come in the river, get your fill. We've been slapping that cocaine, ain't nothing better when the wind cuts cold. But it's a mighty hard living, damn good feeling around these roads. Hey, it's a damn good feeling around these roads.
White House Road with Carolina Bluegrass Style, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. It's this simple. Buy Kitty's litter box. Open the box. Place litter in the box. Introduce your cat to the box. After the cat has done her business for about a month or so, close the box. Throw it away. That's it. Just close the box, grab the handle of this biodegradable box, and throw it away. It's ideal for traveling with your favorite feline. It's affordable, and it's convenient. And that's the one thing I did not like about cats. I don't know how it became my job, but I hated cleaning the litter box. If Kitty's litter box were around 20 years ago, who knows? I might still have cats. Kitty's litter box, all lowercase, www.kittyslitterbox.com. Order today. It's perfect. Come on, guys. That's worthy of a snicker or something. Thank you.
Yeah, just don't make sure you throw the cat out when you're throwing that ball.
Oh, I've got stories about that, too. I'll tell you another time. We got a couple more songs coming up here with our guest, Carolina Bluegrass Style. The next one we're going to listen to was, I think you referred to this earlier, Tyler. This was another one of the Bob Marley songs, right? Could You Be Loved?
Yes, sir.
So, I Shot the Sheriff I Got, but Why Could You Be Loved? What inspired you to do that one?
Well, this one, I had the idea years ago of doing this one, bluegrass style. Even I knew this one back before I was even a big Bob Marley fan.
Oh, really?
And I could hear the song in my head the way that we had done it. I could hear it in my head, but nobody dared play it, because the song is... it's kind of a hard song to do for a bluegrass band. Uh-huh. It has a lot of different chord changes and things in it. And but it always kind of, it had that worm in my ear, man. It would never go away.
It's not for the weak of heart, Tyler.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And then, you know, and on top of that, I think in the original recording that Bob Marley had done, it sounds like to me that's, it's sort of like Bob's at the top of his range. And so in order to keep it within that same key, I kind of have to keep it in the top of my range as well.
So
and
you really got to push.
Yeah, you got to push. And it comes out really energetic. And, you know, the Bob version is really dancey and bouncy. And I think ours translated a lot of that same energy, just a different sort of, with a bluegrass swagger, I guess.
Cool.
But yeah, it's another one of my favorites, and I'm really proud of us the way that we put this together, because I may be partial, but I haven't heard another band do this one, and if they have, I haven't heard it done this well.
The thing that I believe makes this work, Tom, is, you know, it doesn't have a reggae feel to it, even when Bob Marley does it. It's more of a beach number from out of the 1980s, right?
Right.
And kind of that electro pop or whatever they used to call it. When we broke this song, we imagined it after Tyler proofed it to us. We imagined it just having that bluegrass drive.
And we were actually at a very traditional-based place in Suwanee, Georgia, and one of our favorite places to play down there. And introduced it, and we didn't make a big deal out of it. We just said, hey, tell us what you think of this. If you don't think it's bluegrass, you know, at first, just listen to the banjo break in the middle.
Yeah.
That'll change your mind, and we got to stand an ovation for it. You know,
wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it works. It doesn't. It's not a reggae feel. You know, like some of the other Bob Marley songs are.
Right.
It's got a drive to it, and it works. It does, and I'll certainly let you decide for yourself. But we think it works anyway.
Well, sometimes that's it too, though. It's the energy behind the song. It's not necessarily the style. You know, it's got to have like the same heart to it. It's got to have that same like so like that drive. You know, that can catch people, and that's what you guys bring with this song. So let's listen to it. Could You Be Loved, Carolina Bluegrass Style, here on the Music America Podcast. Carolina Bluegrass Style. I guess here on the Music America Podcast, we've got time for one more song. It's called You're Still On My Mind. When I saw the title, I immediately thought of the You're Always On My Mind, but it's not. Who wants to, David, you want to talk about this song a little bit?
This is actually, believe it or not, it's an old George Jones tune.
Yeah.
George Jones did it first.
George did the popular version first. It was actually written in the 50s, and the first version came out in the late 50s. But George got around to it in 1964. But the special part about this song is you roll around to the 70s, the Birds pick it up.
and really put a good honky tonk feel to it.
I didn't know that.
I first heard about this when Marty Stewart and George Jones collaborated on a version not too long before George Jones passed away, and that's kind of what we base this version on. But it's honky tonk, man.
Sounds good. Let's listen. Could You Be Loved? No, I'm sorry. This is You're Still on My Mind. The last song we hear from Carolina Bluegrass Style here on the Music of America podcast.
Jukebox is playing a honky-tonk song. The more I keep saying, and then I'll go home. What good would it do me? I know what I'd find. An empty bottle, a broken heart, and you're still on my mind. People are laughing and having their fun, and I sit here crying over what you have done. Well, to try and forget you, I've spent my last dime. An empty bottle, a broken heart, and you're still on my mind. Forsaken, so blue I could die, and I sit here crying till that old bottle runs dry. When I try and forget you, Lord, I've turned to the wine. An empty bottle, a broken heart, and you're still on my mind. Many a broken bottle, an empty heart, and you're still on my mind.
Still on my mind. You're still on my mind. Carolina Bluegrass Style here on the Music of America podcast. Before we say goodbye, gentlemen, this is the last segment of the show we call Shameless Self-Promotion. So somebody step up and tell us how we as an audience, we as fans, can find you and support you and come see you, hear you, see videos, buy your merch, buy your records, do whatever.
Well, I'll start with, social media. We've got a good social media presence. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on X. And you can...
And on TikTok.
And don't forget TikTok. That's right. And, David is... got all of our products for sale on our website, so I'll let David talk about that in a minute. But if you want to see our videos, obviously we've got music all the way out there on all the major streaming services. You can find, if you follow us on Facebook, you can find out what's going on with the band. We post quite regularly, and we have a lot of fun and interaction with our friends. So, David, if you'll talk about our merchandise section, that would be wonderful.
Right. The website, if you go out to the website, you can buy. We have T-shirts out there with the band that actually says, I'm a Bluegrass Styler.
I love that.
On it. And they're tie-dyed shirts, so they're quite fashionable in today's world. All different sizes, and also you can buy our want a hard copy of the album, you can get a hard copy through the website. So all of that's available out on the website. And then, of course, like Don was saying, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, all the online streaming services, you can go on there and get the songs as well from any of those.
And I just want to add that as well. There is our touring schedule, I believe, on our website, and we also post our dates on our Facebook. And I just want to say, please go out and support live music. And
yes,
if you like what you hear as far as the recorded stuff goes, you're going to love our live shows, because I can say with full confidence that we put our entire heart into what we do live.
Amen, brother. Sounds great. It reminded me, I interviewed Larry Gatlin years ago, and he was saying, he said, there's a song they did, it was a love song. And they did it as the Bee Gees would do it, because the Bee Gees were real popular right there. And they were all laughing about it and stuff. And then he said, so, you know, if you like our stuff, then go out and buy records and everything. And he says, if you don't, then shut up. We don't need the bad press. Funny. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. And again, we had a power outage a few days ago, so we had to bump you from a few days ago to coming on today. And I appreciate you giving me your time and being guests on the show and Music America podcast. And we'll catch up again. And I will be in South Carolina. I don't know if I'm going to get up to Columbia this visit, but I've got friends in Charleston, and I get out there a couple times a year, and we'll have to venture a trip out to come see you, I hope. Right?
Be careful.
Sound great.
Not come see you in Charleston. Just send us the address.
I might. And you guys might come up to St. Louis and come up to a bluegrass festival up in Missouri, and then I'll have to put you up here. I tell people my house will sleep guests very uncomfortably. Just stay out of my room and I'm fine, you know. Anyway, thanks, guys. Carolina Bluegrass Style, our guest here on the Music America podcast tomorrow. Join us as we meet rapper AJ Case. He'll be our guest here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. We invite you to follow us at our website, www.musicofamericapod.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, under the same name, Music of America. Please check us out and give us a like and a follow. Every day, Monday through Friday, we will feature a new guest from that week's featured state. Keep following us as we evolve on these platforms to continue to give members of the music community a voice and a presence. And thank you for listening to the Music of America podcast.